Well, good evening and welcome back to the Journey Home program. I'm your host, Jean-Marc Grodi, here on EWTN. And once again, we have this great privilege to come together to hear a story of faith and conversion. We're joined tonight by Rae-Mee Leroy. Did I say that right?
That's right.
I wanted to ask you beforehand.
Yeah.
She's a former Buddhist. And at the end of the program, we're going to talk a little bit about her parish and the Chapel of the Holy Cross. That's chapeloftheholycross.com. A lot of great stuff today in her story. Rae, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to have this opportunity to share my story.
Yeah, it's great to have you back to Ohio. We
yes,
were talking about how you grew up.
Where I'm from, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's go back and start at the beginning. Tell
okay,
us
great.
About your childhood and all that.
Yeah, well, I got off to an amazing start. Yeah. I was actually baptized Catholic when I was less than a month old. Mm-hmm. But my parents left the church when I was around two. Mm-hmm. So I actually grew up without any faith at all. Mm-hmm. Really, my whole life growing up was about getting good grades, pleasing my parents, mm-hmm. and dance. My mom opened a dance studio
oh, wow.
when I was mm-hmm. about 5 years old. So that became my life. I went to competitions and won lots of awards. Mm-hmm. And it really influenced my choice of where I decided to go to college. I ended up going, when I graduated in 1997, mm-hmm. I went to Otterbein College, which I believe is now known as Otterbein University in Westerville,
yeah.
Ohio. They had an amazing dance program. Mm-hmm. So I ended up going there majoring in theater and dance. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens as a part of their curriculum, they required a religion course. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of neither here nor there about religion. I didn't really have many thoughts about it. I was kind of like, let me just pick whatever fits into my schedule.
Kind of a blank slate up to this point.
Yeah, really. I didn't have any strong feelings. It was kind of like, that's what other people do, you know, and I'm just focused on, you know, doing the work to graduate school. Like, yeah, that was really all I cared about.
So were you studying at that point?
I was in theater and dance.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So I just wanted to pick whatever fit into my schedule.
Sure.
Get my A, you know, get out of there. And what fit into my schedule was Buddhism and Zen. I had no clue what that even meant.
Yeah.
But I was like, that's fine, you know. So I signed up for it and I was surprised. It was my first exposure to anything remotely spiritual mm-hmm. at all. So I was hearing things I had never heard of before and I loved it. I specifically loved the concept of non-attachment. I was always very non-materialistic as a kid, you know, so it was the first time I heard that was actually a good thing in some circles. And I loved the meditating. I've always been pretty wound tight, you know, so I loved, you know, just being still, breathing, doing nothing. And I really enjoyed it so much that when we had to pick a topic for a senior project, I picked Buddhism and Zen. So I spent a lot of time studying and reading about it. And I went on a retreat. But as soon as I graduated college, I kind of dropped it like a hot potato. You know, I was like, I'm ready to get on with real life, you know. And as I like to joke, you cannot get more real than moving to Hollywood, which is what I ended up doing.
All the way from Ohio. That's a big,
yes,
big move.
Yes. So, yeah. You know, I wanted to get into the entertainment industry. I wanted to be a performer. Mm-hmm. So that was my goal moving out there. And I had a dance scholarship when I moved out there as well. And for about 8 years or so, I pursued being a performer in Hollywood. I had a lot of really great things happen, a lot of exciting things happen, but also as life goes, you know, a lot of difficult things happening as well, which kind of caused me in my late 20s to take a step back and just, you know, ask some of the bigger questions. And my only experience of spirituality was Buddhism. So that's where I went. I dusted off my Buddhist books, you know, and started opening them up again. Next thing you know, I'm getting into yoga, you know, any sort of Eastern spirituality, but I loved yoga. I became a certified yoga teacher, and that became my life. And then, of course, once you start getting into that world, you kind of get under anything under the New Age umbrella, if you will, you know.
And so before we get to the New Age stuff, like if someone had asked you that time, so you're a Buddhist. What does that mean? Like, what does that do? What did you actually believe about the universe and about life? What was, if you were to give your elevator pitch at that time, like, what would that have meant to you?
Well, it was all about surrendering and emptying yourself.
Okay.
The word surrender was thrown around a lot. Mm-hmm. Never once did I ask, you know, mm-hmm. what am I surrendering to or who I'm surrendering to?
Right.
But it's all about just emptying yourself, becoming one with the universe, you know, yes, there's suffering in life. It's just a part of life. Just, you know, become a part of it accept it. We're all one, you know, that
was
kind of
Buddha a person?
He was, he was a person. He was a teacher.
Okay.
He never claimed to be God. In fact, he really kind of shied away from teaching until people wanted him to do that. You know, I loved the parables, you know, and all of that. And then, you know, when you get into yoga, it's a lot of the same kinds of things. So I would definitely, I would have been like, I'm a yogi Buddhist, you know, and then, and that's when you kind of get in that world, it kind of becomes very ambiguous and vague. It's just like, yeah, man, like, I just believe in all this stuff, you know, I'm cool, you know, and I really thought I had it figured out. Like, I really felt very spiritual. And at the same time, I changed my career trajectory. So I decided to get in the business side of the entertainment industry. I got my master's in business. And I worked for Universal Studios Hollywood in the creative department. It's kind of like their Imagineering at Disney.
Okay.
So we built all the rides and shows for the park. Oh, and I handled the contracts and payments for that. And then after I finished my master's in business, I moved into TV distribution at NBC Universal. And we license all the movies and TV shows to all over the world, but I specifically focused on Japan and Korea. And then eventually moved over to 20th Century Fox doing that same position.
Wow.
I actually worked in Nakatomi Plaza from the Die Hard movie. That was my office building, if anyone knows.
Yeah.
So I was feeling pretty good about myself, you know. I was like, all right, I got this spiritual thing figured out. My career is really taking off. I got it. I got this thing all figured out, you know. But something very strange happened. I started feeling really empty. And I couldn't figure it out. I wasn't, it's not like I was, you know, crying all the time or anything like that. But I felt like I was losing something. And I remember I visited my parents who at that time had moved to Sedona, Arizona. I visited them at Christmas 2014. And I actually said the sentence, I don't know who I am anymore. And I didn't even know what I meant by that. I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, I don't get it. You know, I'm working, I'm on a movie lot at these fancy parties, you know, everything's going the way I want it to go, but I feel like I'm losing something. And just to kind of take a step out for a minute, now I know, I mean, at the time I didn't know any of this, but at the, now I know looking back, like all of these spiritual practices were leading to that feeling. I mean, because all you're doing is empty yourself, become nothing. I guess I got really good at it because I, you know, really empty, you know, surrender. Everything's very ambiguous and vague. And it's a very strange juxtaposition because you have this empty yourself, becoming nothing. But at the same time, you can kind of choose your spirituality. So it's not even like you're becoming your own God too. There's like that message as well. So you're kind of getting these like conflicting messages when you're in that new age Eastern philosophy world, if you will.
Well, it seems like a lot of people who get involved in that kind of thing, right? There's a part in them, a very human impulse towards, you know, needing something religious, something spiritual. But there's also kind of like, well, I can be spiritual, but not religious, right? I can be spiritual, but not really have
a doctrine.
Sure,
I said that. Yeah.
But of course, the problem is that every spiritual practice has implied a worldview.
Absolutely.
Right? And a view of what kind of being is a human being.
Yeah.
Right. And what are we not, what are we or aren't we made for? And so like, you can try to not address those questions, but they're still there.
Right. And it's all still happening. Like something's happening to you when you're doing it and you don't even realize it's happening.
Yeah.
And there's good intentions there.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I really enjoyed emptying and becoming nothing because life can be stressful, you know? So it's kind of like, this is great. Yeah, nothing matters, you know? But then you start getting into a place where you're like, nothing matters. Well, then what's the point of anything? You know, so then it can lead to this kind of this dark nihilistic place. Well, what's the point, you know? And then when you're getting, you know, into the business world and you're focused on the next promotion and the next, you know, make more money and, you know, and then you're starting to realize, well, when does that end? Like, what happens then? You know, when does... So you're just, I'm starting to kind of, all these things were coming to a head inside of me.
Right.
And I was trying to figure out what was going on.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't quite figure it out. All I knew is I was losing something. Mm-hmm. I was in this a state of moral sin, which I didn't understand at the time either. So, and this is where I like to look back at the indelible mark of baptism, you know, because I think even though I didn't know anything, I think inside I was feeling like I was being cut off from God and I didn't know it, but I felt something was happening there.
I feel like that's a really important point that it's both, again, looking back here, there's something missing both because we are made for God, as we would say now, and we don't have that. But also there's a spiritual battle that we're not aware of, but that's still there.
Right. Like
we're not immune to it. That there's both God who's searching for us and drawing ourselves to him, but there's also evil forces, you know, that want to keep us there.
Yeah. And a lot of times, you know, I didn't know, like people don't even know,
right.
You know, they don't even understand that's happening there.
Yeah.
And you're making these decisions and you're signing up for things and you're doing these practices and you're not aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
So yes, of course I felt that way. Right. Yeah. I mean, we're made for God. That's, who we are. And I lost that. But of course, at the time, I didn't know any of these things. You know, I just knew, and it felt serious, like it was serious. This is dire. Like, I need to figure this out. And which was funny because everyone's looking at me like, you seem fine.
And according to their worldview and your implicit worldview, you should have been fine. That's part of the conflict.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Why am I not happy?
It's like, you look great. You're working in this fancy building. You're going to these parties. Like, what's your problem? You know?
Right.
But I couldn't shake it. And when I got to April 2015, I decided to go into my boss's office and I said, you know, this is either my 2-week notice or I'll work remotely, which in 2015 was a pretty big ask. She wasn't super thrilled about it. But the only thing I could figure to do was move closer to nature. That's what I was like, I just need to get where it's quiet. Yeah. I need to move closer to nature. And then I can figure all this out. Like I can figure out what's going on. So that's where my head was. I just need to get out of here, you know. And she said, yes. So I fit whatever I could in my car and threw out everything else and left LA. And I ended up moving to Sedona, Arizona, because my parents had moved there about 8 years earlier. So I had been visiting them and becoming familiar with Sedona. And if anyone knows Sedona, it's beautiful. I mean, you're right. If you're talking about nature, like that's the place to go. Everything is surrounded by these beautiful red rocks. It's gorgeous. And so I got there and I was able, because I still had my LA salary, I was able to buy a condo the next day. And I started this life where I was working remotely and I had a lot of time. So I was able to be on the trails every morning. And I thought, okay, now I have it figured out. Yeah. I mean, I'm always trying to have it figured out, you know? So I thought, well, this is great. You know, I have my LA job. I'm going on the trails. And if you don't know, or your viewers don't know, Sedona is known for being a very new age town.
Okay.
So that was part of why I wanted to go there too at the time. Cause I thought, okay, well then I'm going to really get into my spirituality. So I was doing the yoga festivals and the meditation groups and the chakra balancing and anything else you can think of. I was trying everything. And I was enjoying it. I thought, well, this is great. You know, I figured all this out. I'm in nature all the time. I was feeling very spiritual and I was doing my business trips. And but then something unexpected happened again in June of 2016. So a little more than a year after I moved there, I had a dream of Jesus just totally out of the blue. It was very real. I knew instinctively who he was. I woke up and I thought, well, that's weird. You know, like, why would he come to me? I don't pray. I don't go to church. Clearly he got lost. You know, like that was kind of where I was at the time. And I just brushed it off and kind of continued doing what I was doing. It was actually about a week before I went on a Buddhist retreat. So I went on my Buddhist retreat with a Buddhist I was following at the time named Yonggi Mingyur Rinpoche. And I had an amazing time. I thought it was incredible. I was even more committed to being a Buddhist.
Whatever that means.
That means. And I have to say, like, there was confusion as to what exactly that means. Yeah. But I'm like, I'm in it and was trying to figure out what that means and meditating all the time. And then I always say Jesus was courting me over the next 6 months mm-hmm. because I would listen to a talk by a Buddhist monk, and he brought up the Serenity Prayer. And he said, he was very adamant about it in the talk. I remember he said, many people know the first part of the prayer, but they don't know the second part. You really need to look it up. It's really beautiful. So I looked it up, and it is a beautiful prayer. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. Like,
how does it go again?
Catholic. God grant me the serenity to, I'm going to blank out.
We need to get it up on the screen there. To the grace to accept the things I can't change, the courage to
change things that I can, the wisdom to know the difference,
right.
Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as he did the sinful world as it is and not as I would have it, trusting that he will, you know, make things right as I surrender to his will. So,
it's
I mean,
a beautiful prayer.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't, of course, the part I thought everyone knew, we blanked on, but,
right, yeah.
but the second part, you don't hear very much.
Yeah.
Usually the wall hangings end at the, you know, the wisdom to know the difference, and then it doesn't keep going, but it's actually very beautiful. And I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, this is interesting. Like, this is Catholic.
Well, and he identified it as a Catholic thing.
Yeah, he's like, you know, it's Catholic.
Well,
you should
who would God have been, though, in that context?
Well, that's the thing is, like, I didn't quite piece that together. I loved the, you know, and I think this is why he mentioned it as a Buddhist, like living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as a pathway to peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and it was funny because when I did learn it, like the second part where I was like surrendering to his will, I was like, well, I don't quite know what that means, but I like that. You know,
also, so the reference kind of, to a sinful world, what was that
part? Yeah. Accepting the sinful world as it is and not as I would have it.
Hmm.
Trusting that he will make things right as I surrender to his will. So it was kind of, you know, I was like, okay, I like that. That's really beautiful. Not quite sure what this is, but okay.
You know? Sure.
It just kind of opened a little door there.
Yeah.
And a Buddhist monk did it, which is interesting. God can work through anything
and
anybody.
That's right.
And then I read a book about a Buddhist nun where she lived in a cave for 14 years, which I thought was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
So I was reading about her, and in the book, she says when she leaves the cave, she goes to Assisi. And she's writing about the nuns of Assisi and how amazing they were. And so I'm looking up Assisi now, you know, and of course, who do I run into? St. Francis, of course. And I mean, you have to have a heart of stone not to fall in love with St. Francis, right?
I mean,
so of course I fell in love with St. Francis like everyone else. Mm-hmm. And that was really amazing. Then I was listening to a talk by a pretty well-known New Age guru named Ram Dass.
Mm-hmm.
An older talk he had done, and he started talking about sin, of all things.
See, that's what I was wondering earlier, because even that concept of that there being something as sin, like that implies something about your worldview, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it didn't register then. I guess our Lord took another shot, you know, and he was talking through this. And I wouldn't recommend this talk now,
sure.
But for where I was at the time, It was the first time I had heard anybody talk about sin at all. And the main takeaway that he said was, if you want to get to God, you can't sin. Like, that was like his message, you know. So
it's a pretty daunting prospect.
Right. Yeah. And so I'm taking a step back. And here's this New Age guy saying, who's usually like, whatever, man. I'm everything. I'm everything, everyone. But then at the same, now he's saying this thing. So it's like, whoa, if he's saying this, like, what does this even mean? And I never even, I mean, this sounds crazy, but I never thought about getting to God. What is that? And I thought, well, that sounds good. You know, I mean, because I never really considered myself atheist or anything like that. But I never thought about it. I never had anybody bring this stuff to my attention.
Had you ever had a Christian share the gospel with you?
There was a few times where, you know, a Protestant would come up and quote a scripture verse at me. Mm-hmm. But I was like, you know, when you don't know anything, it's just like, what are you talking, you know, it sounds foreign. You know,
in some sense, you know, again, having that prayer brought up to you that mentions sin, and then Ram Dass talking about that, it's like that's part of of sharing the gospel initially. In other words, like before we need, before we want the good news, we have to be made to like grapple with the reality that like I am a sinner, right? Yeah. We all know that deep down, like I need something outside of myself, you know. It's not just,
Well, and hearing somebody like that say it too, where it was like, you know, it wasn't somebody who's like, you're going to go to hell, you know, it was somebody who was kind of seemed okay with everything, but then he's saying, well, this is true though.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was like, well, wait a minute. Well, then you're like, well, what is sin and what does getting to God mean? And, you know, there was all these things that I started to think about. And those weren't the only example. I mean, there was just a bunch of things like that that were happening until finally in December. So June was the dream. All these things are happening. Then December, I was thinking, well, maybe I should check out the Catholic Church. You know, I was baptized Catholic. I knew that.
Okay.
I was baptized Catholic. No, maybe they have something there that I want to check out. Yeah, that was
my Catholic. Just because you've been baptized, or just
because I had been baptized Catholic, and I mean, my family's wonderful. I love my parents. I've always been very close to my parents, and I'm like, well, if they baptized me Catholic, they must have known something. You know, it must have been something. And I did call my grandma, who was still alive at the time, and she was the only person I knew that. Maybe still kind of like every once in a while she would talk about lighting a candle or something like that. So I did call her and she was like, go, you know, just go now, you know?
Yeah.
She was really excited. So in January 2017, I decided to call St. John Vianney Catholic Church in Sedona. To see what was going on. I actually went to the website first. So people will do this. That's why it's important to have good websites, Catholic churches, because that's where we are today. Everyone will kind of stalk something like, what's going on over there? You know, let me check it out. So I went there and it was woefully out of date. And it said, we have the seven sacraments. That's why you should come. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means, you know? So, you know, there are people out there who don't, they don't know anything, you know? So that's where I was. So I called the church to find out what to do. And I literally asked, you know, do I need to buy a ticket? Like, just so you get an idea of where I was at the time. Like, how much does it cost? You know, is someone going to show me to my seat? Because having coming from a theatrical background, this is what I was thinking, you know? And she's kind of like, no, you just show up, you know? I'm like, are you going to be there? Is somebody going to tell me what to do? No, just come, you know? Like, all right. So I went. I sat in the back, of course, because I had no clue what was happening. I kneeled and stood when everyone else did. And I can't tell you what anyone said. It was almost like going into a foreign country. I mean, everyone was speaking English, but... But it was like a different place, which makes sense now that I'm Catholic. It is like you're entering another place. The only thing I really remember was the Eucharist. I thought it was really interesting. Everybody's drinking out of the same cup. Like, there's got to be something good in there. You know, what's happening there? You know, and the priest is doing dishes. Like, we're all waiting for him to do dishes. Like, these were my two takeaways.
Yeah.
And I ran out of there before the priest ever even got down the aisle. And I was like, I did it. You know, I went. So that was my first experience. I called my dad on the way home and, kudos to dad. You know, when I shared with him about the cup and the dishes, he goes, well, they believe that's the real body and blood of Jesus. So he knew that. And he said that to me and I said, okay, well, that makes sense. You know, I really, it was not a problem at all. I was like, well, that makes sense. Yeah, there was something then really important happening there.
Yeah.
So there was no problems there at all for me.
Yeah.
And I was just really intrigued. I'm like, I don't know what's going on there. I don't really know what was happening, but I want to know.
When he says that they believe that that's the body and blood of Jesus, up to this point in your life, if someone were to ask you who Jesus was, what would you have said?
I would just say that's something Christians talk about.
And I mean, was really, he a good teacher like Buddha? I mean,
honestly, this is embarrassing. But I don't really think about it at all.
Okay.
I mean, it's terrible.
No,
I feel weird saying that. I really just didn't think about it.
Sure.
I just didn't think about it.
But God was planting these little seeds.
Yeah.
You know, here and there.
Planting seeds and just coming to get me.
Yeah.
I mean, now I know. I mean, when I had that dream and everything, and I thought, well, why would he come to me? Like, he only goes to those people that go to church. Mm. Like, he only talks, like, those people, those are the people that are with Jesus and for Jesus, and he goes to them. I'm not one of those people. Mm. That was kind of just the whole thought process. But now I know I'm exactly the person he goes, mm-hmm. you know, now that I know scripture, it's
right.
like, yeah, I'm exactly the person he goes to. Well, I'm course, the lost sheep, you know.
Well, there's that great irony, too. You imagine our Lord sort of saying with a twinkle in his eye, right, that I didn't come for the righteous, but for the but for the sinners, right? And
right.
of course, there are people in the cloud thinking, oh, well, I'm one of the righteous. Whereas all of us, the proper thing to recognize is that, no, I'm, all of us are part of that
group.
We're
all sinners, you know? Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly what he does.
Yes.
And it makes so much sense now.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it's important for people to know that people who grow up purely secular, you know, in mm-hmm. the secular worlds, you know, that's what they think. Like, yeah. oh, those are those good people that go to church, mm-hmm. and I'm not one of those people.
Well, again, it also brings to my mind that sometimes we're so intimidated at the idea of sharing the gospel because we think we have to make the case and make a sale.
Mm-hmm.
You don't.
Yeah.
You just share about whom you love, right?
Right.
This is
yes.
what I believe, and this is who Jesus is to me. And that can go along, could have gone a long way. I mean,
yeah.
God still found you. But let's take a little break there.
Sure, sure.
And we'll come
yeah.
back and hear the
yeah.
rest of the story.
Great. Right.
Thanks for being here. Again, and stay tuned. We'll be back in just a couple minutes to hear the rest of Ray's story. I want to remind you that if you are someone who's thinking about joining the Catholic Church, if you're asking questions, if you are on that journey, again, you're reaching, you're grasping for something, the Coming Home Network is a whole network of people like you, people who are on a journey, who are seeking answers, who are wanting to know more about Christ and the church that he founded. So if you go to chnetwork.org, you'll find a whole host of resources, including a newsletter, people who want to hear your story and help you along the journey, an online community, retreats, lots of other stuff. Check it out there at chnetwork.org. We want to keep journeying with you. We'll be back again in just a couple minutes to hear the rest of Ray's story. See you then. Welcome back to the Journey Home program. We're entering the second half of our hour tonight, speaking with Ray Mi Leroy. She's a former Buddhist. And we have up there on the screen, chapeloftheholycross.com. That's her parish, and she's going to talk a little bit more about that
yes.
At the end of the program here. But, you know, when we left off, Ray Mi, God had been planting these seeds. You'd had a
yeah.
dream of Jesus, even though you really didn't know anything about him. You'd now, you'd had a couple of these encounters where... like the concept of sin was brought up, you know, where does that even fit in the worldview, you know? And then you went to Catholic Mass and your dad, you know, told you what Catholics believe about the Eucharist.
Yes.
So what happened next?
So I went back to Mass, and after Mass, I decided to stick around the second time to talk to the priest. And I went up to him and I said, you know, I'm not Catholic, but I want to know what's happening here. I want to know what's going on. And unfortunately, he said, you know, we'll keep coming to Mass, which isn't a terrible answer, but he just said that and walked away. And I thought to myself, well, that's not really going to cut it because I don't know what you guys are doing. Like, I need somebody to explain it to me. I felt like the guy in Acts, you know, who's like, how do I know unless someone tells me, you know,
right.
I needed that. And I knew I needed that. So I ended up calling the parish in Cottonwood, Arizona, called Immaculate Conception, and they had an RCIA program. So the secretary said, let me connect you with the RCIA teacher. The RCIA teacher called me. Her name is Janice Cassier, and we hit it off as if we were old family friends, you know, family members. I mean, it's like she's family to me. She's become my mentor and my friend. She's brilliant. She has a master's in biology and a master's in theology. So it was like, I don't want to act like the whole world revolves around me, but I'm pretty sure God put her there for me. Like, it's just the way I believe. But
for sure. Well, there's no accidents.
No, it was
yeah.
no accident that she came into my life. And so when I started going to Mass at that parish, that's when I first remember hearing the gospel for the first time. And the first time I really heard it, came from the Sermon on the Mount when he said, you know, do not be anxious. Do not worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is what I've been wanting to hear forever. This is what I've been searching for. Like, why isn't everybody here? I was thinking, this is what you guys are talking about in here? This is amazing, you know? This is what everybody wants to hear. I remember hearing the raising of Lazarus for the first time. And of course, you know, the priest or deacon, you know, reads the gospel and, you know, the word of the Lord, everyone's praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm still standing like, I'm sorry. Did you not just hear what he said? You know, I mean, all these things were blowing my mind. I had never heard these things before. I never heard them before. I remember Good Friday. I couldn't come into RCIA yet because it was February by the time I finally got all my ducks in a row with that. So they said, well, it's too late for Easter Vigil, but, you know, you can come. And then we'll have, Janice said she'd have like a Bible study over the summer. And they actually started a special RCIA for a bunch of us in the summer to come in December. So this was just like 2017. It was just this amazing year where my whole world was changing. I mean, I was learning things I had never heard before. It was just incredible. And that Easter, I was kind of like, well, I'm not Catholic yet, but I'll go, you know, I'll kind of be on the outskirts or whatever. And I ended up going to Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Vigil. And I remember Good Friday, they had the church dark, and I was kneeling there looking at the cross, and it was the first time I really understood that Jesus died for me. it was the first time it just registered. And I was thinking, the God who created everything, like, came here and died for me. Like, everything's got to change now. Like, I don't know when this will air. We're talking close to Christmas season, but we just sing O Holy Night, where it's like the soul felt its worth.
Yeah.
And that's what happened in that moment, is that, wow, I must be important. Like I got to act like I'm important enough for that to happen. I've got to change everything. Like, how do I not give everything to him now? Like, that's the only proper response to this.
Yeah.
And that was the first time, like, that really hit me. And then we started, you know, doing Bible studies. And I remember Janice one time was like, go home and pick a passage that resonates with you or something you want to share and come back. And so I'm looking, you know, trying to find what I want to bring. And I stumble upon John chapter 3. And I was like, this is amazing. You know, the wind blows where it wills. You don't know where it comes from or where it's going. It's just that way with the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm like, wait till they hear this. I'm going to blow their minds, you know? So I go there and I read it and I'm thinking they're all going to say, that's the most amazing thing I've ever heard. And they're like, oh yeah, everybody knows that. You know, John 3:16, it's on all the football games, you know? And I'm sitting there going, how does everybody know this but me? You know, I mean, I had some anger issues, you know, because I was like, you're all walking around, you know, knowing all of this information and nobody felt like telling me about it. You know, and everybody's just so blasé about it. Like, this is, oh, yeah, everybody knows that this happened. Everybody knows these things. So it was just really learning all of these things for the first time. And finally, our RCIA class started. I remember the first class, Janice brought ruby slippers, which was very odd. And she puts them down and she says, I just bring these to let you know that you can always come home. And I lost it because The Wizard of Oz was my favorite movie as a kid. I mean, I didn't just like it. I mean, I was obsessed with it as a kid. I knew all the songs. I knew all the trivia, everything. And for her to bring ruby slippers to the first class, I mean, our Lord just, he is so specific, you know, and he knows how to reach everyone. So that just completely blew my mind. I did have a temptation that year, which was really interesting. While all this is happening, my boss at Fox calls me and she says, I have great news. we want to offer you a director level position, six-figure salary. You just need to move back to LA.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, this is everything I had been working for. So I said, I need to think about it. But I knew in my heart, I couldn't. I just couldn't do it. And I know, you know, you may be like, well, you can be Catholic in LA too, you know. But I knew that if I went back there, I would slip right back into my old life. And I just couldn't do it. But of course, being practical, I had to make a spreadsheet and calc the numbers, you know, and six-figure salary sounds like a lot unless you're living in LA, and then it's really not as much as you think, you know. So I called her back and I said, you know, this is really amazing. I said, but I've found something very special here, and I really love my life, and I just can't move. And she said, I feel bad for you. She said that you can't see this amazing opportunity. So many women would love to be in this position in their late 30s. And I said, well, you know, I'm a woman and this is where I want to be, you know. So, but I didn't really see it that it was a temptation at the time. But now looking back, and of course, Janice knew right away. She's like, that's a total temptation. But I knew right away. And like, this is, I found a treasure. I felt like I had found a treasure. And there was no way I was going to stop this from happening. So it was actually a pretty easy decision at the end of the day. And eventually, I get to my first confession. And it was funny because, and we were talking about sin.
Yeah.
Janice said in one of our classes, you know, well, we're all sinners. And I was like, hold up. You know, I thought that you guys were all perfect and I was going to come here and you're going to show me how to be perfect. You know, this is kind of the outlook of, that we were talking about, you know. And so I learned, you know, that about confession. And of course, I was so nervous, as many people are. I was 38 years old. I had a pretty long list. Never been to confession before. I was so nervous. Of course, I wrote it all down so I'd remember it. But then I was worried if I dropped the piece of paper and somebody found it and traced it back to me, you know, that would be bad. So I wrote it all in code, you know, to make sure that that would never be traced back to me. And then I got there and it was just this big open room and there were two priests and I freaked out. I was like, I mean, now I wouldn't be fazed by it. But at the time I was like, oh, I got to be, there's got to be some divider or something. Clearly I'm going to cry at the very least, you know. And she was laughing at me. She thought it was hilarious. So they pulled a little room divider and I went back there and I told him everything, expecting him to just, you know, be like, oh, this is, you know, oh my God, you know, and, nothing was happening on his face. And I thought to myself, well, you know, at least I got a priest with a hearing problem, you know, because clearly he's not listening. Like, he can't hear what I'm saying. But as some, you know, supernatural way, he repeated back this long list. Like, he repeated everything. And, you know, it's almost like our Lord was like, no, I heard it. You know, I heard it all. And I was forgiven. I was absolved from these sins. And it wasn't until that moment that I realized that my identity was caught up in these things. Like, that was who I was. And then just like that, it was gone. And I was freed from something I didn't even know that I was bound to. And that was just an amazing moment. To this day, I love confession. I love it. It's the most amazing gift that our Lord gave us.
Yeah.
And I go at least once a month, you know, it's just amazing. And my confirmation was December 17th, 2017. And of course, right before that was Our Lady of Guadalupe. So it was kind of like the last, you know, before my confirmation, this amazing thing I was introduced to. You know, of course, I'm looking up Our Lady of Guadalupe and my mind is blown again. You know, once again, why doesn't everybody talk about this? Why isn't this on the news every night? You know, I mean, the tilma and how the images in her eyes and the stars match the stars on the night. I mean, nobody knows how it was made and it's still there and it's 500 some years later. You know, I mean, I was so blown away by it that I called my mom and I said, I got to come over right now. Like, I know this was 500 years ago, but you need to hear this immediately. You know, like, this is very important. You know, so that was amazing. And Our Lady of Guadalupe is very special to me because of that. But finally, the day came, my confirmation, and it was at a Spanish Mass, which is, I don't speak any Spanish at all, but thankfully, the confirmation part was in English, and I was, they gave us what to say, and I was proclaiming it with such zeal, the priest, like, put the microphone by me, and he smeared oil everywhere, it was dripping everywhere, and I just loved it. I never wanted to wash it off, and he gave us his chalice, which was pretty heavy. And a little bit, you know, came out on my skin. And I was, of course, really nervous about that. And Janice is like, don't worry, it'll absorb. And actually now it's pretty awesome. Like, I was covered in the blood of Christ, you know. And I haven't looked back. You know, Janice saw how I was just a sponge. And she said, you know what? You should get your master's in theology. I was like, okay. So 1 month later, I started the online master's degree program at Franciscan University of Steubenville, and I just graduated in,
congratulations.
Thank you, in May, last May 2024, with honors. And I don't say that to brag. I just say that to show what God can do. I mean, he took a woman who thought she needed to buy a ticket for Mass, and now I have my master's in theology, which is unbelievable. I always like to say, when you say yes to God, like, buckle up, because you're going to do things you never thought you would do. Yeah. In 2021, we got a new pastor, Father Ignatius Mazanowski, and he came up to me and invited me to join the staff to help bring the parish to life with our social media and websites and everything, get live streaming going. So I joined the team there, and that's been amazing. We have St. John Vianney, which is the parish I went to when I first came, and the Chapel of the Holy Cross, both in Sedona. And we started Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at SJV Sedona, at Chapel Sedona. Updated the websites, sjvsedona.org, chapelofholycross.com. The chapel is such a gift that God gave us.
What is that?
It was actually built in 1956 in the beautiful red rocks of Sedona. It's always been Catholic, but a lot of people don't know that because over time it kind of just became more of a tourist attraction. And Father Ignatius is the one who started having adoration, confession, and Mass there on Wednesdays and Fridays. And it's just been this amazing way to evangelize, because people are coming there because it is one of the top attractions in Sedona. They don't really know much about it. They're not Catholic. And they're encountering adoration, and they're asking questions, or they're there during Mass, and they're experiencing their first Mass, which is amazing, because a lot of people aren't going to just walk into a parish, you know? So it's a chance to expose them to the beauty of our faith and just plant those seeds, especially for me, you know, to be able to be a part of that, and to know, okay, when, you know, I don't expect anything to happen and maybe in that moment, but, you know, maybe they're going to see something and they're going to ask questions, or they say, wow, Catholicism is really beautiful. This is what you guys do? Like, just like me, you know, this is what's happening. Oh, I didn't know that, you know, because you're not going to encounter that in the regular world, in the secular world. You're just, if anything, unfortunately, you may encounter something negative. But I've also had the opportunity to teach and give presentations through the Institute of Catholic Theology in Phoenix, Arizona. So I've had the opportunity to give presentations on saints. I taught a class with Father Ignatius this past summer, where I talked also about the saints. So the saints have just been really important to me. They're just our friends. You know, they've done it. They've been there. Right. And they have this amazing advice. And you have saints from all places, all backgrounds. You know, I think as a convert especially, it's amazing to find these saints who, you know, had these other lives before. I didn't know that, you know. I didn't know that until I came. I thought, oh, well, these people were just holy from birth, you know. Yeah. And then you find out, oh, no, this guy was just like me, you know. And they find you, you know. They find you when you need them, you know. Our Lord sends them to you. So it's just been an amazing ride. It's a great adventure. It's not always easy, but it's just the greatest love story too.
Yeah.
My favorite definition of a theologian is a lover who wants to know their beloved. And that's really just, that's it for me.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I didn't get my master's to have, I don't really have a plan necessarily. I guess I should, you know, but it's just, I'm in love. That's it. I'm in love. And I just need to know as much as possible. Wow. Yeah.
What a wonderful story, Amy. We have about 10 minutes left, so I wanted to circle back on a couple topics. You know, one was just, you know, obviously the background with Buddhism and Zen and the spirituality. Like, humans have this desire. They don't really necessarily know what it means or why they have a desire for something more. And there's certainly something to that. We were talking a bit before the program that, like, well, you know, there's on the human level, right? Because God, grace in nature, right? God has given us the grace of our nature, our free will, our intellect, you know, to search the truth, to look. And so we have to do human things, right? We have to ask and seek and knock. But it's not enough because we're made for a person, right? We're made for that relationship.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's what's missing from these other spiritualities, if you will, that I was doing before, is that relation. Because at the end of the day, that's what it all is, you know? Right. And he wants that. And relationship is, he wants us to participate, you know? It's not, it's love is freedom, you know?
Right.
So he wants that, but he's not going to force us, you know? And we're seeking, I mean, there's often, you know, this attitude towards people, because Sedona does have that new age, and it's just kind of, there can be this attitude of like, oh, you know, they're crazy, but, you know, whatever. And it's like, no, you know, they're searching. They're searching, and we have what they want. Right. You know what I mean? Right. So let's tell them about it.
Right.
You know, I see myself there, you know, and how when I came in, like, nobody said these things to me. And we can't be afraid to do that, because that's what they're made for.
Right.
And we know it. So why would we keep that from somebody?
Right.
You know, why would we keep that love that's so beyond anything we can even imagine? You know, we have it all in the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's just, it's a loving thing where it's like, hey, I know what you want. Right. You know, let me introduce you to him. You know,
well, I feel like your story emphasizes to me too, that, you know, you came to know Christ and kind of the simple gospel. And that opened you up, like you said, to the love story where you want, now you want to know the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
But again, it reemphasizes, though, that we have to not overthink this in terms of sharing the gospel. It again, because it all comes down to a person, right? Again, we don't have to sell it. We don't have to be a really persuasive salesman. We don't have to necessarily be in all the theology. We just have to tell people about Jesus.
Right.
Right.
We couldn't make it about us, right?
Yeah. You know? Subtly, we do that.
And when that's what we do, right? Yeah. Forgive us, Lord.
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, it's working for a church and getting my master's and kind of being in that world, that intellectual world. You know, it's very easy to fall into, like, I have to explain this the right way, and I have to say the right thing. And we have to just remember every day to take a step back. And it's like, it's not about, like, he'll do it. Like, you know, I just need to say, hey, let me show you something. You know, let me show you this. And I forgot to say the most amazing thing is that my parents came back to the church.
Oh, wow.
So about 6 to 8 months after I came into the church, they started coming to Mass with me. And now, I mean, they're in it. They're involved in all different ministries, and I mean, I don't want to say I'm taking credit for that. In fact, I mean, I hate to say it, but I wasn't really trying, you know. I just was simply like, you guys got to hear this. This is the most amazing thing I've ever heard. And even though they were raised Catholic, they would say, well, I never heard that before.
Right.
You know, my dad told me, he said, I didn't even know that the Our Father was a prayer that Jesus actually taught us. Like, he didn't know that.
Right.
You know, so even Catholics, you know, sometimes don't know these things.
The simple things that seem so simple. Why would you ever re-explain that to somebody? It's so simple. It's so basic. That's probably what people need to hear the most.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just, that's been somehow lost even for Catholics, right. You know, and just that relationship, that love, you know, so some of that's been lost over the way, you know, and, you know, it's, you'll encounter people, the, you know, spiritual, but not religious, like I used to be, you know, well, there's so many rules, you know, and it's like, but once you start looking at it, it's like, well, but that's what we're made to be. Like, we're just being told, like, this is who you are. Like, when you live like this, you're being who God created you to be.
Right.
That actually is natural. Like, that's who we're supposed to be. And that's what he invites us to be. And he wants to dwell in our souls and be with us, you know? So it's just so beautiful, you know, and that's all we need to do is just show up. I mean, we're not shy about talking about our favorite restaurants or movies or whatever, you know, so it really, I think it can, maybe I'm naive, but I think it just can be as simple as that.
Yeah, well, that's, again, seek and ask and knock. Like we're told that if we do that, and when it comes to prayer, right, this relationship with God, there's many things to say about it, but the most important thing is that you just continue to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you
yes.
mentioned earlier with the Buddha Zen stuff, you know, the concepts of meditation or even detachment. You know, the Catechism calls meditation the quest of the mind for God, right? And on our human side, right, there is a part, we do need to learn to sit still and be quiet. Mm-hmm. And there is a certain emptying of self. There's a certain,
yes.
the detachment, right? Like beginning to let it go of things. That's the first half. The second half is in order to yeah. attach myself to God, in order to be filled with God. That's the other side
right,
of the
that's
equation.
That's what we were saying yeah. before we, you know, earlier yeah, is like, yeah. but wait, there's more.
You
know, like, it's like, yeah, okay,
right.
but there's more to
right,
it.
Right.
You know, and even coming in, I was like, oh, they meditate too, but it's so much better, you know, because I'm not just emptying, I'm filling myself with this, yeah. this love and this relationship. And you know, we also were talking about, you know, going to the desert, going to the wilderness mm-hmm. and how, you know, we have in our Christian tradition, mm-hmm. you know, we have the Desert Fathers and St. Anthony of the Desert, who I love. I wrote a whole paper on him. I love him so much. And I resonate with that because my life scripture verse, yeah. if you will, is Hosea 2:14. You know, I will allure her and draw her into the desert and speak tenderly to her, or draw her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her.
Beautiful.
And that's exactly what happened. Of course, my intentions at the time were different, but I see now that he was working there, like just getting, let's get you out of there and mm-hmm. get where it's quiet. And I was thrilled to find that that's our tradition as well.
Right.
You know,
right.
we have a whole tradition of Desert Fathers mm-hmm. who have these amazing things to teach us, you know, so.
It reminds me a little bit of, you know, Augustine's, you know, our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. In Buddhism, there's this concept of like, well, you're killing off your desires,
mm-hmm.
right? So you can
yes.
have peace.
Yeah.
Well, I think Buddhism gets wrong. It's not our desires are the problem, but it's not that they're too great. It's that they're too small.
right.
We should want the ultimate, right?
Yes.
We should be detaching yeah. ourselves from desires for passing things, but we should want the ultimate thing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Reach for the eternal,
right.
you know, not waste our time, you know,
yeah.
on these other things. And, you know, our Lord, I mean, he created us. He knows us, you know, he knows. And that's why we have confession and we have the sacraments to give us and sustain us in this journey, you know, mm-hmm. to spend our eternal life with him, you know?
Right.
So it's just, it's a gift. The Catholic Church has everything we need.
Mm-hmm.
everything.
I love the confession you brought up, that really pairing that with the simple presentation of the gospel is so important, right? Because the gospel is sort of a good news, bad news situation, right?
right.
The bad news, which we already all knew, is that I'm a sinner and like, gosh, I can't do this on my own. The good news is that not only is there a remedy for that, but it's the image is the prodigal son going to the father, right?
Yes.
We show up. And the Father is just perfect mercy, perfect love,
yeah.
right? It's all God. It's all his grace.
Well, and that's what we want, right? I mean, that's what we're seeking in all of these worldly
right.
things. Just like
right.
the St. Augustine quote you said, you know, it's just, we're trying to find this love in these worldly things that will never fill it,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, and that's kind of where I realized, like, you know, no matter what promotion I have or how much money I make, like, it's never going to do it for me. You know,
right.
nothing's going to satisfy me but him at the end of the day. Like,
right.
that's all that's going to do it, you know.
Oh.
So.
Well, thank you so much, Raimi, for
yeah,
coming to
my
share
pleasure,
your story.
My
and
pleasure.
Again, people can, if they're ever out Sedona way, they can come visit.
Yes, please. Come see us.
ChapelOfTheHolyCross.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, follow us on Instagram at Chapel Sedona. I update that myself. So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. And thank you for being here for this episode of the Journey Home program. Again, such a wonderful story. So many great reminders there, again, about for those of us, again, who are living this faith, just that we don't have to overcomplicate sharing our Catholic faith, our Christian faith, right? We need to share the simple good news of the gospel, that despite the fact that we're all sinners, God is real and he loves us and he sent his only son and all that. And again, for those, again, who are seeking, recognize that we all have this desire in us for God, for something transcendent. And the remedy for that is not to kill off those desires, not to try to hide them, ignore them, or medicate them, but to seek the ultimate, right?
Yes.
Our hearts will be restless until they rest in Him.
Absolutely.
We'll be back next week with another story, but in the meantime, I want to remind you, as always, that if you're on a journey, check out chnetwork.org. We'd love to be praying for you and with you. We'd love to hear your story and walk with you along the way. So we'll be back again next week with another story. In the meantime, God bless.